Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Matthew Donaghy, and my co-host tonight is...
Adam here again. Hello and welcome. And I think we've got another really interesting show tonight, so I'll hand back to Matt to talk a little bit about what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I think what's been very up, I think, globally with what's been going on, and a lot of sort of my clients is just dealing with different sides of life and different parts of self that maybe we haven't sort of been looking into. So I thought doing a show very much on the holistic approach to life explain a little bit about how there's sort of four components to that and how to live a real healthy, long, successful, sort of happy life. Being able to manifest things that you dream of and being able to bring them into reality is working on the four things and making sure that you're 100% connected and in the flow with life, I think, really. So the four sides we're talking about is the mental, the physical, the emotional and the spiritual. And I know we've done similar shows before, but one thing I've seen very much that's going on at the moment is there's people, we have our preferences. So if you were to put your preferences down, what would you prefer to work on day to day and what do you find easy? And most people will probably be able to tick maybe two out of the four or three out of the four and say, well, yeah, mentally I'm making sure my thought forms are good and I'm maybe working on my mindset or doing a course in mindset. I exercise regularly, so my physical's good. But emotionally, don't really look at that side of things and maybe spiritually not into it. And I think everybody's different, but what I've seen as a pattern in behaviour at the moment globally is because people are having to adjust because of the coronavirus, there's a huge amount of people that are spending more time at home. And generally what this means is a lot of people have a lot more times with themselves. So this is bringing up a lot of stuff for people. There's a lot of reminders from the government that we should be getting a certain amount of exercise, and obviously that's brought a lot of stuff up for people because they're realizing that actually they don't exercise enough, or maybe their diet isn't great, because obviously with a huge amount of people spending time at home, even those that are furloughed from work, they're now cooking a lot more at home. So whereas they were eating out and maybe getting junk food during the day in town, they're at home and actually they're eating sort of more. But also on the spin of that, I found that obviously all of these are connected, so what we're talking about is going to bleed in a little bit. But one of the things that I found interesting for myself that I've been doing recently around processing the physical side of things is that there's often two sides to these. So when I'm talking about the physical, I'm not just talking about being physically fit and making sure that you're running enough or you're doing enough exercise. You've also got the nutrition side of things. So you've got, are you eating enough of the right foods? I think for me personally, any food group is I'm open to. Obviously the sugary ones, I have to be honest, I do have a sweet tooth and I do love a bit of cake. But again, it's about enjoying things and not over abusing them. So within the physical, it's looking at what food you're eating and is that good for you, but also are there any addictions within that? Because I discovered I have an addiction to sugar. So that's something I'm working on, because it was only really when I really started dialing in and looking in and digging that I realised just how interconnected it was. And I'll tell myself stories to allow myself to eat sugar to make it all right. And it's, oh, but you've done a lot of exercise today and you've worked hard, so yeah, you can get away with having four bits of cake. And actually that's not good enough, but it's a story that I've used throughout my life. And because I've always appeared to be physically fit and felt physically fit, I've almost used that as an excuse. So it's really interesting how the mental side of the stories you tell yourself around food and how interconnected they can really be.
You really start to sort of see the links and see the areas that you need to work on, you know, very much like you were saying, there may be two that you're pretty good on and another two that you're not so good on. And to just take sort of the mental and the physical as examples. So you may be slightly depressed and, you know, not particularly happy at that time. And you find maybe your personal hygiene goes down a little bit. You don't, you know, rather than cooking a nice healthy meal with some vegetables in there, you go down the shop and you buy a microwave meal. And you can actually sort of start to see how one area affects another, both on the positive and the negative side of things, and then start to sort of build a way of working forwards. As you said, you know, sort of on the physical, it's taking a holistic approach to the holistic approach.
Yeah,
so very much so. You know, the physical is more than, like you say, more than just going out for a run and eating properly. It is the personal hygiene. It is the, are there any addictions? Do you smoke? Do you have maybe one too many glasses of wine with dinner? And it's starting to sort of try and look at it, you know, as a bigger picture, as to, you know, get, as you say, get involved in the nitty gritty and dial down a bit and actually work out the areas that do need the improvement. Because, you know, if there's four areas you're working on and two are at 90%, you only need to put 10% of effort into those, whereas the other two that are at 10%, you can put 90% of your effort in to get that balance back, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's sort of like practice at the things that you're not particularly great at to get better, but and don't worry about the things that you're already naturally good at. And this is sort of what really hit home for me when I realised that I've worked with many addictions in my life, and I've never really considered myself to have an existing addiction. But to realise that there's one around sugar, when you look into an addiction, it's not only the need for that substance, whatever it be, whether it's food, whether it's a drug, whether it's alcohol, whatever it be, it's a need for something that's not natural. And it's it can be a way of, if you're using something heavily, obviously it's self-abuse. And for me, obviously, when I look into something, I like to really dig down and get into the root and say, right, are there any emotional connections to this? Because often than not, when you hear the term comfort eating, a lot of people will overeat because they find it comforting. But a lot of people, some people can undereat because they're telling them, or they don't feel as though their self-worth is great. So they have issues around how they look and they can undereat because of it. So there's always a connection with the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual together. And so I like drilling down and looking at all sides of it. And there was a part for me, for sugar, it was that feel-good factor. It was that I was seeing it as a reward or a treat, and so that was okay. And it's realizing that actually I don't need the sugar to feel good. What I can do is use mindset and tell my, just reaffirm, hey, that this is, you've had a great day, this is really good. And you don't, I don't need to make the story up that it's a treat. So I found that really, really sort of helpful for me. And again, a lot of my clients, just to share a quick story, one of my clients is a nurse, so she's on the front line at the moment, working very hard. And she brought to me the other day that she was beating herself up around exercise and not exercising enough. And I said to her, how often are you walking a day? And she checked her sort of log on her phone, and it was up around 6 to 7 kilometers a day. And I said, well, if that's not exercise, what is? So it's amazing, even when we're getting exercise, and or we can have a story that, oh, because I don't see myself doing enough, I'm not. And actually, we are. So the physical wasn't a problem, but the mental stuff around it was, because it was beating yourself up for not doing enough. When actually, when you realise you're doing enough, then you can, the mind quietens.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, once again, for me, sort of when we decided to talk about this, and knowing that it is up for a lot of people, it's that, you know, especially with being in lockdown and having more time, we do have that time to really start looking a little bit deeper, you know. And it's, yeah, especially if you're on your own, it's like it's a great opportunity to actually learn from
reflection, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure we will talk sort of later on a little bit about some of the things you can do to improve on all four of these. But it's realizing where your problems are at, and you know, especially when you've almost got a choice of one or more or four categories almost, you know. And it's like I say, it can be confusing, because it's like, well, is that a physical issue? No, it's just what we tell ourselves. And
yeah,
you know, very much it goes one of two ways, you know. And it's like, I mean, to take food in this example, you know, you've got the people that eat because they're unhappy and are unhappy because they eat, and then
yeah,
you've got the other people that, you know, eat a slice of lettuce for dinner and look in the mirror and they see themselves as fat, because
yes,
that's just the position they've got themselves into. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I think when you start getting to that level, then you have to look into the emotional side of things as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, it's,
and also, I mean, the mental as well, just to start digging into a little bit of that, because again, it's something that's a lot of people have found challenging. Even just in adjusting, even if you've had a minimal adjustment to your life, so you may consider yourself lucky that you're still able to work, you're just working from home, and there are some benefits to what's going on. But also it's having, as Adam was saying, a lot of people are spending a lot more time alone, and they're feeling a little bit more disconnected. And within that, the mind can start telling stories and making judgments and coming up with rationalizations around everything, which is just obviously telling yourself rational lies. And it can actually be really quite a scary place. And I was fortunate enough to see a guy a couple of years ago, an event in America, Dr. Sean Stevenson, who unfortunately is not on planet anymore. But he gave one of the most inspiring speeches I've ever seen around the prison of the mind. And he explained that most of us are sort of spending our times in our heads, and the mind is actually the biggest prison in the world. It's just whether we're choosing to live within those bars or on the outside. And it resonated so much when I listened to him. And this is when we're talking about the mental side of things. It's like, what is your own mind telling you on a daily basis? Is it telling you good things? Is it telling you positive things? Is it aiding you? Or is it telling yourself negative things? Is it judging yourself? Is it being over rationalizing all the time? Is it working way too hard? Like what's going on there? And I think a lot of people have had this come up, whether it is, as I said, the emotional, the physical, the mental, or the spiritual. It's people are having issues within generally one or two of these at the moment. And that's why I thought, why not do a show about it? Because I think for me, what really helped is when I realized that I was working on all four, and you can really start firing on all cylinders, life really, really works. Because when people talk about manifesting, oh well, do my course and you can manifest anything you like, and I'll just it's only $50, and it's like everyone's got the new version of the new manifestation frequency, and there's a lot of that going on. But for me, what I realized is when I really, really started manifesting is when I was truly in love with myself enough to be respecting all four sides. So when you're clear within yourself and you're respecting yourself 100%, and you're treating yourself, you're nurturing yourself, and you're aligned, then manifesting is real easy, and life is real easy because you're just in the flow. But even just not respecting one of these parts of self can make life real easy. So, I mean, we'll dip into it a little bit later, but if for me, if I'm not meditating regularly, boy oh boy, do you notice the difference. And life isn't exactly hard, but it's hard compared to when I don't meditate. So
It's noticing the differences, isn't it? And finding what works for you, what doesn't work, what areas you are working on, and what areas you aren't, because it's just sort of one of the things that I've seen, sort of on the odd trip out. Almost every time you go to shops for supplies or whatever, there's people out walking or they're riding their bikes. People are making the effort to get the exercise and this, that, the other. So it's just looking at it and just going, okay, so yeah, what am I working on and what am I not working on,
Yes, certainly something people have embraced since lockdown is Lycra. It's like everybody's turned into Chris Boardman all of a sudden. And again, this is like a huge amount of people are spending more time at home and actually going, well, if all we can do is go out for an hour and do some exercise, boy, oh boy, are we going to embrace it. And I think that's where you really see the positives on it, where people are either going to go one way or the other. And I think with a little bit of guidance and explanation, it can make it real easy for people. And it's kind of like, it's not about beating yourself up around, oh, I'm only doing one out of four, and Matthew said most people are doing three out of four. It's not about judging self or anything like that. It's about embracing the sides of self that you haven't looked into. And it's for me, as I was saying with the mental stuff, it's if you want to be manifesting, you have to be really clear on everything. And if there's a voice telling you that, oh well, yeah, £1 million would be nice, but I don't think I could earn that much, or I don't think I deserve that much, then you're just not going to get sort of you're not going to manifest it. What you will manifest is the universe will answer your prayer and say, yeah, you can have that. However, what's between you and that manifestation is you learning the lesson that actually you've always been good enough. You just never believed it. So again, this is where we say the spiritual dips into the mental, and the mental dips into the emotional and the physical, and this is all one. So it's kind of like you have to see one as the other.
It's like trying to drive a car with three wheels, you're not going to get very far.
Yeah.
Four pumped up tyres and you do 200,
Yeah. Great. So we're just going into a break, and we'll see you on the other side.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
So welcome back, and just before the break, we were sort of coming to the end of sort of summarising slightly. I was just saying, you know, before we went into the break, that especially when it comes to manifesting and that side of things, it really is like trying to drive with three wheels on your car. You know, you do need to have that good sort of foundation, and you know, so some of you sort of may choose to sort of almost substitute or flip the spiritual for religious. You know, I mean, obviously it's very much we're sort of sharing our views, and you know, for me, living a spiritual life does definitely add to that. Obviously, you know, if religion is your thing, then you know, fair play to my mind.
Absolutely.
It's you're keeping your focus on God, whether you call yourself spiritual, religious, or whatever. You know, to me, it doesn't really matter. It's we're all doing the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, very much for me, it was when I was looking at dipping into the emotional stuff of what's been going on, you realise just how interconnected they are, and that generally the people that are struggling emotionally are the ones with the sort of the negative mindset. Just been connecting with a lot of people and talking to them, and they say that even just talking to somebody that's positive can make them feel better, and actually even just a little explanation in something can really change how people sort of view things and how people feel about things, because very much at the moment we are very much in a situation that nobody really knows what the outcome is and when it's gonna be. We're still in lockdown. Although certain things are appearing to sort of be loosening up, we still don't know how long it's going to be and what the situation after lockdown is going to look like. But I think if people had been told beforehand that this is going to affect that sort of some people's mental health as well as some emotional, it's going to bring things up, it's going to sort of bring things up to challenge you. The way I'm seeing it very much at the moment is from a larger view, that this is sort of a global lesson that we all need to get. It's an opportunity to step up and be a better version of self. And if we all do that, I think we can get to the place that we're hoping to, from a humanity level. And I think if people have been given clear information that this is going to bring emotional stuff up for you, it's going to bring up some mental stuff for you, and here's some effective tools and ways of dealing with that, then a lot of people will be a lot better off, because so many people are struggling. I know a lot of friends who are used to going to the gym regularly who have said, like, my emotional health at the moment is really low. I feel really low because I'm not getting the physical.
I mean, in the UK, we're starting to see more sort of adverts for some of the worst sort of sides to this, you know. So some of the things like suicide and, you know, sort of Samaritans and people you can phone and talk to, and obviously one that's taken sort of a massive rise at the moment is domestic abuse. And you know, there's so many factors that sort of incorporate into that. But when you haven't got the daily distraction of work and the time away from the wife or partner or whoever it is at home, and, you know, I know domestic abuse works both ways, but when you haven't got that release, or if you're the bloke that's got a season ticket and goes and shouts all his aggression out at the ref on a Saturday, but you haven't got that release, and it's like, actually, these, whether we realise that's what they're there for or not, and it's not to say we don't enjoy them, but these coping mechanisms and these distractions that we have in place, or, you know, these things that we use to get a buzz, you know, they're, it's scientifically proven when you work out, endorphins are released, you feel good, and it's, you know, I mean, I'm not suggesting in that case, but I know some people will take that to the extremes, and that then almost becomes their addiction, you know, and...
Yeah, very much so. And I think that's what, like I'm saying, some people are noticing that they've been using the gym as a way of distracting from their emotional health. And when that's taken away, all of a sudden they're looking at their emotional health and they don't like what they see. And it's a case of I've reached out to a lot of them and said, well, when lockdown's over and we can do one-to-one sessions, then we'll crack on and we'll start looking into the emotional side. Because again, this people have suddenly realized that, oh, actually something which I just thought I enjoyed, I've been using almost like an addiction or a distraction. Because again, looking at physical health, like physical health is fantastic and we should all be doing it and nourishing our bodies. But if you're taking it to the extreme and you notice that you're doing it to distract yourself from other things, it can actually be sort of, well, it can work against you. So Adam, like Adam said, I mean, it's almost like having a four-wheel drive car and one's running backwards. Like, you have to have the four. And this is so what's current with people at the moment is bringing up all sorts of sides, because there'll be the sides to us that we're working on and we're comfortable with, but then there'll be the side that we haven't really necessarily been looking at. And that's been brought up for everybody. And I think when you realise it's just an opportunity to work on yourself and sort of maybe work on some of the things that you probably wish you'd done before, you've just held yourself back or stopped yourself. And it's, yeah, just working on all four sides. For me, I've just to sort of put it out there for the mental side of things, I do use journaling and reflection a lot, but only because I'm familiar with my own mind and some of my thought forms, my negative thought forms and that sort of thing. But also it's using NLP, looking at sort of what you're telling yourself, reaffirming. For the physical, obviously you've got the physical exercise, but you've also got the nutrition side of things. The emotional, for me, the most effective tool I've found is Breath for Life breath work, because it really just crunches straight through the emotional, and that's really the best way to deal with the emotional side of things, is to use an action therapy as opposed to a talk therapy. And the spiritual, for me, number one, meditation, absolutely has to be, because for me, it's the one thing that even if I was having a really challenging day and everything was up, even just a couple of minutes in meditation, and obviously I've had a fair bit of practice, but so I can hit that within sometimes seconds. But it is just finding that peace and that feeling of what truly matters, and that, you know, it doesn't matter how scared any of us are at the moment, and how sort of we don't know what's going on, so it can seem a little scary. It's like hitting that bliss and that peace.
It almost hits reset, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Having a bad day, do a med, right, start again, cooking on gas, you know. It's
yeah, it is, because you realise in meditation what's important, because the mind stops and you can really just tune into yourself and the universe and realise what's truly important. And that's why, for me, the spiritual side of things is again real important. Again, for me, around manifestation, I know there's a lot of talk up at the moment. It's like, oh, there's a lot of offers around, oh, you can manifest anything, and some of these programs are great, but some of them can come from a bit of sort of almost like greed, and if, and unless you're doing it from a pure place, it's not necessarily gonna work. And I think what's more important to tell people, if I was selling a course on how to manifest things effectively, I wouldn't be telling people how to manifest at first. I'd be telling them how to effectively meditate, because to ask something from the universe but not be putting your bit in, it just feels a little bit take from me. And don't get me wrong, I used to do it when I first started watching The Secret and trying to manifest things. I thought, oh, I can manifest anything I like. I'll manifest a load of money, because then I can pay off my debts, and then I can have a Ferrari and live in a big house, and yeah, it'll be great. And all I got was lessons in money. So I'd said, oh, well, manifesting doesn't work, does it? All I've got is being reminded of how much debt I've got. And it's like, well, are you going to see it from the side it should be seen from, which is you've tried to manifest something and the universe has given it to you. What you need to do is sort your debts out, and then of course you can have that. And it was just like, it's how you see it.
Yeah.
And most people see it as, oh, well, stop working, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I was broken.
I've always liked Jim Carrey's way of explaining it. I think it's sort of quite old now, but he'd done an interview quite a while ago about how he manifested, I think it was £5 million, how he manifested £10 million. thanks for that. How he manifested £10 million. And basically it was a case of, you know, he'd wanted to be an actor, and he was set on that, and he wrote himself a check for acting services rendered for £10 million and dated it a certain date. And then he put action in place and he took the right steps towards it. And, yeah, you know, he manifested, I think it was the role in The Mask or something like that, yeah, where he then got the role, got the paycheck, and he manifested it. But he says in the interview, it's like, you know, you can't put it up there. You can't give it up to the universe or God or whatever reference you use. You can't put it up there and then go and eat a sandwich. Like, you have to take action. You have to do something. You have to put the wheels in motion, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people that I've sort of taught or spoken to about manifestation, especially clients as well, is it's like, don't think that you can just ask for it and not take the action yourself. So for me, if I'm effectively trying to manifest, I will do lots of processing around it. So if look at what you're trying to manifest, and then look into what are the thought forms around that. Again, you have to look at all sides of this. So what are the thought forms around it? Do you think you deserve it? Do you think that is it in your bottom line? Is it congruent with what you would love to experience, as opposed to what you might want or feel you need? So look into what it is you'd like to manifest, get clarity around how you feel around it, how it looks. visualization is a very effective tool, but also when you're visualizing, use a holistic approach. So don't just see it in your mind's eye. Hear it in your ears. Smell it through your nose. Taste it with your tongue. Like, really, really feel it. Don't just... So for someone like Colin McGregor, who's into visualization, he wouldn't just see himself walking into the ring. He would hear the crowds calling his name. He would hear his music. He would feel the nostalgia of, you know, you've got to see it and feel it as if it's happening there and then. So it's using a holistic approach and really bringing it in. And if you don't manifest, or you feel as though what you've asked for, you haven't manifested, it's looking into, okay, well, what has, because the universe will always answer, but it's looking at what is within that answer. So for me, it was very clear. It was like, well, the lesson is you need to pay off your debts, mate. Take responsibility. And it's within that taking responsibility. It's like, once you've done the visualization, don't just say, well, that's the action, I've done my bit. Take, and even if it's just one, take one action that's going to help that come into fruition. So it could be putting a offer out to your clients. It could be anything that's in line with what you're trying to manifest. If you're trying to manifest your twin soul or twin flame or whatever it be, whatever it is you're trying to manifest. If you're trying to manifest a husband, wife, take it one step further. So I know one thing I've heard before when you're attracting a partner is take a drawer in your house and empty it. And that's their draw. Take a step, whatever it is, however small or silly it may seem at the time, do little things that you can look up and go, you say, I want this. I do want this. Because the, as Penny would say, the squeaky oil gets the wheel.
The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Brilliant. And it's very much seeing yourself as, with that as the universe. Like, don't be afraid to keep asking, as long as it's coming from a genuine place. Again, a lot of mindset people have around the universe, and some I had as well, is it's like I didn't feel worthy enough to ask. I didn't feel as though I deserved to ask for these amazing things. It wasn't congruent. So how am I going to manifest it if I'm telling myself it's going to happen, but I don't feel like it is? And again, it's that, keep going back to the mental, physical, emotional. So we're coming up for another break, and we'll see you on the other side.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, Why not make a date to come play with me in the Field of Possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hello and welcome back. And just before the break, Matthew was sort of talking a little bit about manifestation and how pulling in the, you know, the four components really makes a difference, you know, using the mental, the what the thought's telling us and that sort of thing, good and bad. You know, the physical doesn't become about how strong you are, but the sensations and the taste and the touch and the seeing it. You know, the emotional, where are the blocks there and that sort of thing. And then, and I think sort of for a lot, especially when you do start looking into the world of meditation, you know, then you get onto the spiritual, and that's one that then maybe needs to take a little bit more of the percentage of the time, you know, especially once you start, you know, sort of looking past the secret as such. I do agree with Matthew, I think. You know, there's only so far you'll get with so much information, and there comes a point where you have to actually broaden it out and sort of find a bit of a bigger picture for yourself. You know, for me, sort of using spiritual law and things like that in everyday life, and just having a better understanding of that side of things. And to my mind, it's sort of how the world works. It's a bit of a guidebook as such. I don't like to particularly use the word rules, because it's, you know, it's your choice, and it's not like you have to do this, but, you know, so it's a guidebook. If you want an accelerated sort of life as such, if you want to bypass good or great for extraordinary and incredible, then it's start bringing in the spiritual things. It's start working through it, because in doing that, you know, as we've seen with almost everyone, you're going to end up crossing paths with the other three aspects at some point in it. But it's using that spiritual side to really give you focus and give you, you know, a way forwards.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just sort of going back to what I was saying, obviously talking about the manifestation stage, I know I just wanted to talk about obviously different stages, because there's a, for me, what came up when Adam was talking there was a lot of people are at a lot of different stages, and it's not sort of worrying about what stage you're at. And a lot of people are waking up spiritually at the moment, but also discovering their mental and emotional sides as well. And for me, I found to give a bit of explanation, it was almost for me, it happened in sort of stages. And first started investigating a bit of mindset and a bit of the emotional, wasn't really open to the spiritual at the time, but doing some of the investigation work and exploring, self-exploration, almost brought on the next stage, which I think was almost like the realizing, and that was the realizing of myself, who I truly was, how I felt, what I thought, why life was happening to me in the way that it was, what was going on. And then it was like the next stage, which is, we call it stage three, obviously, it's like the taking the action. So now I had the information around my mental, physical, emotional, and starting to sort of experience the spiritual, it was taking action. And that's when I found at all these different stages, life expanded way beyond what I imagined. But then very much after taking some of the action, once you start living by some of the rules, the laws of the universe, became a huge expansion experience, was probably the best explanation I could give you, where life just opens up way beyond how you thought it would be, and how, even just down to how happy you are, I am, on a daily basis compared to how I was before. And you see people and how they're still living a similar to life how that I was, and just a few years work, and it can sometimes feel scary when you're at the start, but it's realizing that we may be talking about manifestation and how it works for us, and that's great. And you think, oh, well, that's great, but it doesn't work for me. But it's realizing this is a really exciting journey, and it's a real adventure if you embrace it, and actually to live that free, joyful life. It's a simple formula. It's not rocket science. It's just looking at ourselves and going, right, what are we? We have a mental side, we have a physical side, we have an emotional side, and we also have a spiritual connection. Like, even as Adam said earlier, even if you're not religious, or you're religious, or you're spiritual, it's everyone feels a connection to life, whether it's to animals, to the planet, as opposed to the universe and God. And it's just realizing that actually there is a part of us that feels more connected to life than we know. And everybody's entitled to their opinion and to go about it the way that they would like to do it. For me, that's spiritual. But it doesn't mean to say that I don't respect everybody else. All the religions, it's kind of, I may not necessarily agree with them, but that's just my opinion. I'm not going to take it any further or force my opinion. It's just, for me, spirituality works. And it's sort of, for me, it's that mother, father, God, beloved friend, saints of all religions. Because it's like my way of saying, right here, right now, I don't know the absolute complete truth, so I welcome in everybody, and I think everybody's equal, and that's just how I like to see it. Because I think in some of the things that we're told, we can make judgments. I've heard people say, oh, well, my God's a different expression to how yours is explained. And it's kind of like, well, just because it's explained in a different way, it doesn't mean you're not talking about the same thing.
Yes.
So I like to just sort of respect all of it, and just, that's my way of being respectful as well. It's kind of like, well, yeah, it's about really embracing
it really
that
is
side.
Each to their own, isn't it? And for me, you know, what sort of draws me to the spiritual side of things, and once again, you know, this is just my opinion, but what turned me away from religion and things like that was the human aspect of religion. You see so much sort of greed and so many wars and fights over my God's better than yours or this, that, the other. And it's like, for me, being spiritual, it kind of takes that human element away, because it's not about anybody else or their opinion. It's not to say they're right, wrong, or indifferent or anything like that, but it's about my connection with God.
Yeah.
And my life that I'm living, you know, my sort of my inner world. Because ultimately, you know, emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually, your inner world will be projected in your outer world. You know, when life's good and everything's great and you get your parking space, it's rosy. But when the chips are down, it's pouring with rain, you forgot your umbrella, you have to walk 3 miles to get home. You know, it is one of them. So for me, that's what, you know, that's what really drew me into the spiritual. And And just to sort of talk about the stages a little bit, because as you were saying it, it was like, it's almost like, yeah, I've been there. Yeah, I've been there. And it does, you know, and I know I've sort of heard you say this before, where it's like you go from, why is this happening to me again, to like, whoa, I can't believe this is happening to me again. And it's just, you know, and whatever state you're at, whatever stage you're at, it's like, you know, if you hear this show and today's the first day you ever think about, yeah, I wonder how I feel emotionally, then great. You know, you've now got the rest of your life, however long that may be, to start practicing it and start exploring it. You know, it's you're never too late. I mean, one of my favourite proverbs is the Chinese proverb, the best time to plant a tree was 10 years ago, but the second best time is now. And, you know, we really are in that, especially as a world at the moment. We're well in that. You know, we all have the opportunity, a little bit more time, a little bit more space. It's like, let's just crack those eyelids open a little bit wider and actually start to see what, you know, what are they? What is God? What is the universe? What are they trying to show us here? What am I not seeing? What do I need to work on? You know, it is just, you know, ask yourself just one question. Okay, so what one out of these four categories do I need to work on most right here, right now?
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then you may want to sort of explore. And if it's something very new to you, you may need to do some research. But then it's finding something that resonates with you and that works with you.
Yeah.
As to how you do it. You know, for me, whenever I'm looking for sort of training or something like that, it's really important the feel I get from them. But
yeah,
also, yeah, you know, are they doing what you need them to do? You know, it's no good you needing some emotional help and going to a physiotherapist. It's not going to cut it, you know. So it is, and it's using discernment, but it's also finding people that are doing stuff that you need to be doing, as stupid as it sounds.
Yeah, no, absolutely, because that's often what you find inspiring about them as well. For me, I think it's working. If you're looking for a coach, it's look for someone that is actively working on these things. I mean, even though I help and support and I guide and have a lot of clients that I help, I'm always pushing myself. I'm always I'm doing what I'm saying. I'm doing the work that I'm also helping others do, because I think it's really important. You don't just qualify in something or start doing something and think you've made it. You keep going, and that's my mission in this life.
Yeah.
It's like I'm always looking to be the best version of myself, and that's the more I've found that, and the more closer I've got to that, the better life gets.
I mean, that, and it's being real. You know, yes, okay, we're practitioners and we help and support others, but it's only because we're constantly working on self and clearing our stuff and you know, working on our aspects and improving this and improving that, that allows us to be able to do it, you know. I mean, I remember I had a Reiki client a while ago, and sort of I was giving her a treatment and some emotions come up, and it's one of them, you always have the choice. Okay, we can do some work around this, or you can just lie there and enjoy the treatment. You know, it's very much up to you. It's in sort of in your control. And sort of we've done a little bit of work, and she sort of said afterwards, oh yeah, well, I wasn't really sure about going there. And it wasn't until I explained that I had a similar experience, and that actually, you know, for me, I'd done some breath work and some coaching around it to gain the clarity I needed to clear it. And she sort of said to me, she was like, do you know, I never thought of it like that. It was like, and it's that, oh, well, because they're a practitioner, they've made it. And it's like, to be honest, the ones that tell you that, me personally, I would question, because, you know, life don't stop. So what makes you think your emotions will, you know, we are human, even if we do have a little bit more knowledge in some areas and try and help and support in others. You know, it's like,
yeah, in some ways, my clients teach me just as much than as I do them. It's just in a different way, and often they don't know they're doing it. So yeah, just to really bring it home, it's like if you are struggling with any of the four, and even if you've just got confusion around what you can do, maybe some techniques, what to look into. I know there's a huge mindset movement out there, but one thing I found is a lot of them say, well, I've been working on my sort of limiting beliefs and positive mindset and that sort of thing, but I just don't feel it. There's some incongruency there. Obviously, you could be looking at doing some emotional work. If it's the physical or the spiritual, it's find some guidance on it. And if it is just guidance you need or coaching, obviously we work through Akin to Woke, but you can always get hold of me through In a Balanced Life, which is my website.
I'm energymattersonline.co.uk.
So don't feel as though you have to do this alone. One of the other things that I found has been quite up at the moment is realizing that sometimes the first step can be the hardest, because we tell ourselves that, oh, it's going to be really big and bad and heavy and this, that and the other. And it's about realizing that actually it can be done in a really light way. And sometimes information is halfway there. So I hope you've enjoyed the show. If you need any support, get in touch and have an amazing week. And we'll speak to you next week.
Stay safe, everybody.